Today we're coming from Psalm 94, the 94th Psalm. And I'm starting a new series on today. And the topic of this series is praying for justice. Praying for justice from Psalm 94. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. We just thank you, Lord, for being in our lives and interceding on our behalf, Lord. Lord, we just come before you, hearts heavy with what is going on in the world, but yet uplifted because we know that we have a relationship with you. Father, I pray that as I share this message, your word, Father, that I share it the way you gave it to me, Father. And Father, I just pray that we open our ears and our hearts to hear what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praying for justice. As we look at what's going on, we see a lot of injustice in the world. And it seems like the longer the protests go on, the longer the virus goes on, the more is being revealed about the true nature of mankind. So we pray for that. But as we look at this passage in Psalm, we see that the author is praying for justice. The author has been under a lot of pressure, has been under situations that should not be, has been accused of false things, has been profiled by evil people. As we look at this passage, I just want us to recognize that the Lord is still here. He is still our Savior, and he still hears our cry. The 94th Psalm, verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. And it's interesting that as you read this, it's repetitive. Now, we have to recognize that these psalms were really songs that were sung in the temple. So they were sung to remind God's children of their history, what they had been through, the times that they have cried out to the Lord, and the times that they have been delivered by the Lord. They recognize that life is not fair. Life is not fair, but we do what we do when we're in situations. And at this time, he's crying out, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongs. This is somebody who wants to take the matters in their own hands, but they recognize that, Lord, vengeance is yours. Now, when we look at this word vengeance, sometimes it's misinterpreted to mean revenge or being vindictive. But according to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, to avenge means to uphold the law and give justice to those who have been wronged. So actually, it just means to provide justice. That's what vengeance means, is to provide the justice that is due for the actions that are happening. So as again, you know, oh Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, oh God, to whom vengeance belongs, and the author says, shine forth. Shine forth, and the first words of the second verse is rise up. Now, it's interesting, as you look at those two together, shine forth and rise up. He is being prophetic in a way, because we know that there will be a day when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will shine forth. He will rise in all of his glory, and he will rise up and correct the injustices and restore order in the world. So the author is praying for the Lord, whose vengeance belongs to him, to shine forth and rise up. And he asked them to judge the earth. Where is the punishment for the evildoers? Is what he's saying. Oh, judge of the earth, render punishment to the proud. The author saying, Lord, I want you to give them what they deserve. Give them what they deserve. Vengeance is of the Lord, and one day he will shine forth, and one day he will rise up. But until that day, we have to recognize that God is interceding on our behalf right now. He is taking care of us right now. He is healing us right now. The activities that are going on in the world now that have been instigated by evil actions has sparked a revolution, has sparked protests, crying out for justice. For justice for all. And it's interesting that as you monitor what's going on through the news, that we see that this revolution is not just us or people of color involved anymore. As you look at the news, you see people rising up for justice, not only in the United States, but they are rising up for justice in the United Kingdom. They are rising up for justice in Germany. They are rising up for justice in some countries that, quite frankly, we might not even be able to point out on a map, but they are rising up for justice. You see them walking the streets of France. You see them walking the streets of Berlin. You see them crying out for justice. Oh, Lord, render punishment to the proud is the cry of the author of this song. And in verse 3, I love verse 3 because it says, how long will the wicked triumph? What he's saying is, how long will the wicked seem to get their way? How long will the wicked be jubilant? You know, they rejoice in their wickedness. I truly believe that some people just rejoice in being wicked. They will rejoice and they will do things that they know are not right, right in front of your face, even if it includes putting a knee on somebody's neck far longer than should have been done. It shouldn't have been done at all. But the wicked, they specialize in that. They specialize in hitting you in the places where that can have the most impact on your health, have the most impact on your wealth, have the most impact in your family. They rejoice because they act in their own interests. What is important to them is what is the cause that they will take up and forget everybody else. They rejoice as they get rich on the backs of hardworking people and at the expense of hardworking people. They grasp at opportunities to make life meaningful for themselves at the expense of others. Lord, how long will the wicked? How long will the wicked triumph? This is a cry of somebody who has been subjected, who has been downtrodden for so long. Lord, we have faith, but when will we see that day coming? When will we see that day coming that our grandparents prayed for? When will we see that day coming where our parents prayed for? When will we see that day coming when justice is served? But one thing we do have, my brothers and sisters, we have to be patient in some things, for we serve a patient God. I want to take us to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. This is when God is providing Moses with the second set of tablets on the mountaintop. And he says in verse 6, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. What this tells me is that when God is ready, that he will set things in order. He will put people in their place. And my brothers and sisters, I think that we are seeing some things being revealed to us that we did not know previously. I think God is in the process of working things out on our behalf. I believe God is in the process of restoring order. You talk about law and order. God is in the process of restoring law and order. God is in the process of restoring justice for those who have been put under the thumb for too long. Now, as the writer cries out for justice, he also takes time to share what they do. And the people he's talking about the arrogance of the words of the wicked. Let's look at verse 4. They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They are arrogant. They speak things that ought not to be. They are workers of iniquity who boast in themselves. Now, iniquity is another word for immoral or grossly unfair behavior. Don't you see that there is iniquity in the world? There are people who are workers of iniquity. They are immoral. They will cry out when they think it affects their base, but they are silent when it affects the people that they represent. Yes, they build a wall to keep people out, but some have built a wall to keep themselves in, to keep themselves protected, to keep themselves insulated. But God is not mocked. He knows what's going on, and we are not mocked. We know what's truly going on. We know what you care for. We know what you care for. We know what you don't care for. We know that you will clear out a peaceful crowd just so you can have a photo op and hold up a Bible in a way I've never seen a Bible held up before. I know God is revealing things to us now, the true nature of a man. Yes, you utter speech. Yes, you demean other people. Yes, you give people nicknames. You call them out of their names. Yes, you cry out and criticize people who are peacefully protesting, but you are not lifting them up. You have done nothing. You have shown no empathy. That's another thing about the wicked. They have a lack of empathy. Sometimes it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. It's the tone that you say, or what you say. And the wicked are like that. The wicked will not show empathy, but they will try and justify their actions. They will not apologize, but they will try and justify their activities. They have no concern for others. They are arrogant in their words. And that's what the author is trying to say. He said in verse 4, they utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. Nothing's been greater than what I have done. Not only that, they are arrogant in their activities. Let's look at verse 5. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They attempt to break your people up. They attempt to break our people up. They attempt to crush God's people. They attempt to crush God's heritage. Don't you know, my brothers and sisters, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that includes us? They attempt to break people that God has chosen. Deuteronomy 14:2 says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all people who are on the face of the earth." Don't you know that we are treasured by God? And that's one thing you don't do, is you don't mess with people's treasure. You don't mock people's treasures. You don't act ugly against people's treasures. Think about it. They break in pieces your people. They break in pieces your people. They attempt to call up the armies to cruise the streets. They attempt to call up, you know, and to disrupt the peaceful protests that are going on. They attempt to have things done their way as a show of force, rather than having the faith to share with people one-on-one themselves. Verse 6, they slay the widows and the stranger, and they murder the fatherless. When you look at this, they are, what they're saying is they are really working with people who are vulnerable and cannot defend themselves. They kill the widows. The widows are the ones who have lost their husband and the context of that time had lost everything they had. They are dependent on others for their well-being. The strangers are the ones who are not not part of God's people, but yet they are people of value. They kill strangers and they murder the fatherless. They have no compassion about children in the world. They're only looking out for themselves. They're only looking out for themselves. They look at the people who are at their weakest and put their foot down on them. Exodus chapter 22, starting at the 21st verse, shares God's thoughts on this. It says, you shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry out at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become hot. How many times have we heard rhetoric from people who should know better, pointed at the strangers in the world, those who might not have the privilege of citizenship in this United States as we do? How many times have we witnessed them being herded up and held in detention centers? How many times have we seen children separated from parents? How many times have we seen the sick being shuttled back to a land south of ours? How many times have we seen our government officials speak out against people of color who are not like them, who have no value to them? They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. The more things change, the more they seem the same. As Solomon once said, there is nothing new under the sun. It has just been repackaged. It has just been repackaged. So therefore, the author is crying out for justice, just as we are crying out for justice. And in verse 7, he shares how they act. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. What they're saying is that the Lord doesn't see what I'm doing. The Lord does not understand what I'm doing. They think they are insulated from the wrath of God, but I got news for them. One day they will feel the wrath of God. When the ungodly harass God's people, they are making a mockery of God. When they deprive us of our rights, they are making a mockery of God. When they brazenly show prejudice, they are making a mockery of God. When they make a mockery of justice, they are making a mockery of God. A popular comedian once said in a joke that he went to the courthouse to find justice, and all he found was just us. My brothers and sisters, God does not like ugly, and there is too much ugly in the world today. So let us be agents of peace. Let us be agents of change. Let us support those who need to be supported. Let our cry be made known to the world. The world is watching. The world has seen the justice that has been going on. God will relieve us one day. We don't know what day that will be. And we might cry out, how long? How long, oh Lord? But as you pay attention to what's going on in the world, you are seeing people stand up and say, I can't take it anymore. They are crying out for justice to a person that they never met in their life, but only saw a video of him being unjustly treated. They are recognizing what has been told for generations of the activities that go on behind the scenes where people of color, God is revealing something to us for a reason. And justice will be served. My brothers and sisters, hold out, hold on. Let us be part of the process. Let us be part of the solution and not be part of the problem. Let us hold out. Let us cry out. Let us protest. Let us illuminate the injustice that is going on before us. Let us support those who are brave enough to be in the streets right now, saying that this is not right. I know many of us cannot do that with this virus around, but God's going to take care of that too. So my prayer is that one day justice will be restored. One day people who have had the shades on will have them pulled off, and it will be revealed what is really going on. One day people will link arms in a chain that cries out for justice. One day, it reminds me of the song that was sung during the civil rights period, we shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall overcome someday. God, how long? How long? This is a prayer for justice. God will take care of what needs to be taken care of. It is our job to highlight the injustice of the world, to illuminate the injustice of the world, to not sit quietly as injustice is going on. And we're not alone in this, my brothers and sisters. Others are out there, ready and willing to help. Shout from the mountaintops that there is injustice in the world. God bless you. I certainly pray that this message has inspired. And next week, God willing, we will continue on with this series on prayer for justice. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, again for your word. We thank you for the power in your word. Father, I just thank you for all that you have revealed to me personally through your word. And I know that you're revealing it to others as well. So thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. Thank you, Lord, for sheltering us. And just thank you, Lord, for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.